Good to be with y'all this morning. I must say that this is my first time wearing these glasses from behind the pulpit, so y'all do look a little bit smaller. I'm trying to get used to them, but it's good to see y'all. Good to be with y'all this morning. Good to have the folks from Mountaintop. Good to see y'all. Known some of y'all for a long time, so it's good to see old friends. Just been a busy summer since I was last here. And the end of May, we had a lot of farm work, and we had a lot more farm work, and then we had a lot of camp work, and now I go back to Emmaus tomorrow, so that's going to be, it's been a lot of travel. So pray for me if you do think of that. Pray for Marion. Marion's going off to school at the end of the week up to Kentucky. It's not the University of Kentucky. It's called Asbury University, but do keep her in your prayers. So we're moving all over the place, if you will. So last week, Dad had preached in Salisbury, a little chapel over there, about 3 or 4 hours west of here, I reckon. And we're coming home, and we're coming through Charlotte. As y'all know, Charlotte, full of traffic, and thankfully it wasn't full of traffic when we went through, but you know, it's busy, and so we cut the radio on as we're driving along to have something to listen to. And it was a sports radio broadcast, and I think we're trying to find the Braves score, who cannot seem to win over the past 3 days. But we're on the way, and the gentleman on the broadcast came on and announced that a man by the name of Bill Russell had passed away at the age of 88. So by a show of hands, does anybody know who Bill Russell was? The Bill Russell. Okay, we got a lot of y'all who do know, but a lot of you who don't. So Bill Russell was a famous basketball player. He was known for being a great defensive player, a great team leader. He won 11 championships in 13 seasons, just a very remarkable man when it comes to the area of athletics. And he was also known for his record on working for human rights and for some other political activities. He was famous for being active in those areas, trying to make a difference in the world. And so by the standards of the world, we look at this man and we think how great he was, how he will be remembered. He had a legacy of winning championships and a legacy of working for human rights. And these are great things, as we well know. But they are still earthly accomplishments. That's not to say he was a bad man. He was a great man by those standards. But the people we're going to be discussing this morning, found in our passage, are still being talked about thousands of years after they lived. So if you would, open in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. Verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And so the purpose of that opening illustration is that we're all remembered for something. And the individuals, as I've already mentioned, in this passage, they are remembered thousands of years after their death, and thousands of years after their death, because of their faith. And so we're going to be talking about some of the ways they've evidenced that faith, or three reasons, if you will, that they are remembered for their faith. Before we go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful this morning to open your word. We do pray that your people would be encouraged, that we would learn something from it this morning, and that we would be able to apply it in our daily walk with you. Just be with us now, Lord, as we open your word. We do thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus. We pray all these things in his name. Amen. And so there are 3 points we have this morning. And under these 3 points, we're going to look at some evidences of the faith that each of these individuals had. And so firstly, they are remembered because they had faith in God's leading. Look down again to verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so we look at Abraham. Abraham is remembered because he had faith in God's leading. The first evidence of this is shown in his obedience to God's call, his obedience to God's call. Now, in our family, I'm the one who knows a lot about obedience because I was the perfect child who never got in trouble. If you want to know about disobedience, ask Miriam. She'll tell you all about it. That's not true at all. I had my fair share of getting into trouble when I did not obey. But we're looking at Abraham's obedience. And so what do we know? We know that in Genesis 12, God calls Abraham. He says, get out of your country and go to a land that I will show you. And he promises to give him descendants that are innumerable as the sand on the seashore. And so Abraham, as we see, left everything. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he received as an inheritance. He went out. And so we would think about that and we'd think, well, what was the big deal with Abraham leaving everything? Well, at the time he lived in a place known as Ur. And Ur is located in where Babylon would later be located, in an area known as the Fertile Crescent. And then this time period, so basically it looks like this. You have, you know, the Promised Land over here. You have Babylon way over here, and there's a bunch of desert in here, but this region's known as the Fertile Crescent. And so a lot of civilization was based where Ur was. And so it was the, if you will, the most technologically advanced city of its day. It had all the comforts. It had all the desires that you could want from a material standpoint in this world. And yet, what did Abraham do? He left it behind. He obeyed God's call. And it says he went out not knowing where he was going. On our trip a couple weeks ago, we had to use my phone for GPS because my father still uses a flip phone. And so we had to find our way around. And so but we knew where we were going, right? Because we put it in and it gave us a route to show us where we were going. Well, this was not the case for Abraham. God called Abraham and says, I will show you the land. But Abraham just had to trust God. He just had to trust the Lord's leading. Because he didn't know where it was. But it says he went out and that he did so without any question or hesitation. Genesis 12, the same chapter where he's called, verse 4 starts out with the words, so Abram departed. So Abram departed. Not Abraham sat around and said, well, Lord, I don't know about this. Not Abraham said, Lord, no, thank you. I don't really want to do that. So Abram departed. So his faith is evidenced by his obedience to God's call. In addition, his faith in God's leading is evidenced by his patience with God's timing. Look again, if you will, in verses 9 and 10. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now we'll have a little bit more to talk about that city whose foundations and maker is God later on in our message. But we really want to focus on the fact that Abraham dwelt in the promised land as a nomad. He dwelt there in tents. So he did. He obeyed God. He followed his leading, and he went all the way up around and came down to the promised land. But he never got to build a home there. He never got to establish his family there. It says he lived in a tent, and so did Isaac, and so did Jacob. And I don't know about y'all, but if I had to do that, that would be very hard. I'm very grateful to have a home that's well established. I grew up in a little house at the end of a place called Trailer Street in Hepzibah, Georgia. That's just home. I've always had a very steady place to turn to. But in Abraham's case, he left everything behind. And God told him he was going to give it to him. But he still had to wait. He had to dwell in this land and not possess it for his own. That would be for his descendants who would later come up out of Egypt. But he trusted that God would give the land to his descendants. He trusted God's leading. He was obedient and patient. And so what is this lesson that we can take from this for us? Sometimes God leads us in ways we don't understand. We sang in that hymn this morning, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. You know, sometimes there are things in life that we don't see why they're there. We don't know why the Lord has allowed them into our life. But we know that, as Romans 8:28 tells us, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We know that according to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, that if we trust him with all our heart and don't lean on our own understanding, he will guide and direct our paths. So he works all things for our good. All we need to do is trust him. And as far as patience go, we know that, as Isaiah tells us, they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. You know, we go through difficulties in life, but we know that the Lord is still there with us. We know that if we patiently wait upon him, he will provide for us in those situations. And so the individuals in our passage are remembered because they had faith in God's leading. Our second point this morning is that they are remembered because they had faith that God could and would do the impossible. Look now at verses 11 and 12 of the same chapter. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And so we know that Abraham trusted God's leading, and he left, and he went to the promised land. And what was the other thing that God had promised Abraham? Your seed will number as the sand on the seashore or the stars in the heaven. What was the problem with this? Abraham was 75 years old when the Lord called him. I don't think many people today are having children at 75 years old. And I don't think they were doing that too often back then either. Abraham could not have children, and neither could Sarah. It was, from a human standpoint, impossible. He could not do it. But we need to look at some of the evidences that they trusted that God could and would do this, that God would fulfill his promise. So the first piece of evidence for this is that Abraham believed God. Turn, if you would, to a very familiar passage, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, it's a little bit of a long section of verses, but I think it really illustrates just how great Abraham's faith was and what it really means for us today. So if you would, read with me in verses 16 through 25. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And so, what do we see here about Abraham? It says he did not worry that his own body could not perform the necessary functions to produce children. We know that God called Abraham when he was 75 years old, but at this point, he's almost 100, which means that the chances of having children are even less likely. But what does it tell us? Who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed. Abraham believed God. Doesn't say that he questioned him. Doesn't say that he looked to the Lord and said, you know, you can't do this. He trusted the Lord. And because of this great faith, because he was unwavering in his hope and in his faith that the Lord could and would do this thing, he is considered the spiritual father of all of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. He is the great example that we look to as someone who trusted that God would do what he said he had done, or would said he would do what he had promised. And so we see this about Abraham, but what about Sarah? Look back in our passage in Hebrews 11, if you will. Verse 11 specifically for Sarah again. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. So the second evidence of this, of them trusting that God could do the impossible, was that Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. Abraham believed God, and Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. You know, it's interesting because if we all remember in Genesis, what did Sarah do when the Lord told Abraham that they were going to have a child? She laughed. She laughed. And truthfully, we all would have done the same thing. Because if we were in that position, well beyond the ability to have children, in that situation from a human standpoint, it was laughing that she would ever have a child. And yet, what does it say? By faith. Sarah is commended for her faith in this passage. I think this teaches us a very important lesson. God sees what we don't. You know, often we would look at this and we would say, well, Sarah didn't have great faith because she did laugh. But evidently, because of what this passage tells us, she did. Yes, she may have laughed initially, but she did trust that God would do as he said. And because of that faith, she received strength to be able to have that child. And what do we know? We know that God delivered on his word as he always does, exactly. We're right about a year later. She had Isaac, the son of promise. And Isaac would have Jacob, and Jacob would have his 12 sons, and they would later have the children of Israel. They would grow until, you know, Moses led them out of the promised land, which is another great example of faith in this passage a little bit later on after what we've read this morning. And so a question for us as we consider this is, do we have this kind of faith? Do we too have the faith the Lord can do the impossible? Do we stand unwavering in the promises of God like Abraham? Or do we shrink back in unbelief because we don't think he can do it? We think it's just too hard for him. Have we judged him faithful who had promised, just like Sarah? Or do we ignore the things he's done for us in the past? Do we just say, Lord, I know you've provided for me in this situation. Lord, I know you've taken care of me in the past, but Lord, I just don't know. And we're all human. We all struggle with these things. But we know that if we look back in our lives and if we look back in scripture, we've seen time and time again that when the Lord is led and when the Lord makes a promise, he keeps it. He cannot lie, as Hebrews chapter 6 would tell us just a few chapters before our passage this morning. He keeps his promises. And so Abraham is remembered because he had faith in God's leading. Abraham and Sarah are both remembered because they had faith that God could and would do the impossible. Which leads us to our last section for this morning. They are remembered because they had faith that where they were going was better than what they had left behind. Where they were going was better than what they had left behind. Look now, if you would, in verses 13 through 16 to close out the passage. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So they are remembered because they knew, or that they had faith, that where they were going was better than what they had left behind. The first evidence of this is that they realized that this world was not their home. As verse 13 tells us, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They realized that even though they may not possess the promised land in this life, God would keep his promise to their descendants, that they would take it. And they looked at the things of this world and they didn't get caught up in them. They did not get caught up in the trappings of this life, and neither should we. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 tells us that no good soldier entangles himself in the things of this life. How often do we look at the things of the world around us and take our eyes off of Jesus? How often are we like Peter? We lose sight of him and we get swallowed up in the waves. We need to remember that this world is not our home. There's something better for us. They desired the heavenly country. As verse 14 tells us, they plainly declared that they seek a homeland. And in verse 16 tells us that they specifically desired the heavenly country. They embraced the promises of God. Abraham and Sarah trusted that God would do what he had done, what he said he would do, because they trusted his leading. He had led them this far. And he had not gone back on them. And he had kept his word and done the impossible. And so we too should desire this heavenly country, you know, because this world, as we know, it's not always easy. Death is a very hard part of what we go through. There's death, there's sin, there's all these different struggles that we face. And so we need to embrace, we need to hold on to the promises of God. And one of those promises he's made us is that he's gone to prepare a place for us. That heavenly country, which Abraham and Sarah sought, we too must seek, because we know that it is better than what we have come from. Another thing that shows us just how much faith they had in what they were going to was better than where they had left was they didn't look back. They didn't look back. Verse 15, read this with me again. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. You know, we mentioned earlier that Ur was a place filled with comforts, at least for that time period. It was a great place to be from the world standpoint. And yet they left it all behind and they didn't look back. Because what does it tell us? It says if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But yet they didn't. Abraham and Sarah kept their eyes fixed on the Lord. They trusted him and they kept moving forward. I think this is a great thing that we need to grasp hold of as well. How often do we look back and, you know, some of the things that we left behind, or even go back, you know, that old sin nature, put off the old man now and live for Christ. And yet so often we fall into these things. Rather, we should keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, just as Hebrews 12 tells us a little bit after this passage. And so they didn't look back on the comforts of the life because they knew that what God had promised was better. And we know, too, that what God has promised us is better than anything that we could leave behind in this whole world, because we know that it is temporary. It's not lasting. And what is the result of all these things? What is the result of Abraham and Sarah realizing that this world was not their home, desiring this heavenly country and not looking back? Verse 16 gives us the result. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God is not ashamed to be called their God. What a powerful statement this is. What a thought. That when they did eventually pass away, when they did get to that heavenly country, God looked at them and said, I'm not ashamed to be your God. Oh, that he would say the same of us, that one day when we have finally breathed our last breath on earth, that we will have had the faith and then followed him, that he looks at us and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Will he say the same of us? Will he be unashamed to be our God? And so as we begin to close, I want to reread that hymn we sang this morning. You don't have to turn there if you don't want, but number 295 that we read this morning, or sang this morning rather. He leadeth me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, e'en death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Those are some powerful words, especially as we've considered these great examples of faith this morning. Will we too be content whatever lot we see, much like Abraham and Sarah? They had to live in tents, but they knew that God would do what he had said. And when our task on earth is done, will we to hold on to the promises of God and remember that where we're going is better than where we've left? Will we too, even though we know the process of death is not pleasant, realize that he's still leading us by his hand, that he's still got us, that he's still there with us? my friends, Abraham and Sarah are remembered because they had faith in God's leading. We know that he's got us as well, that he leads us wherever we go. Abraham and Sarah remembered because they had faith in God's power to do what was humanly impossible. Let's remember that whenever we go through the struggles in our daily lives, because we know that he can handle it. Nothing is too hard for him. And Abraham and Sarah remembered that they had faith that where they were going was better than what they had left behind. Oh, that we too would remember this, that he leads us by his own hand. Let's close this morning. Father, thank you for these great examples of faith. Father, we are just amazed at how trusting they were of your leading. We pray that we'd be able to do the same. We thank you that they did have the faith that you would do what you had promised, what was impossible to them, that you did give them Isaac. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to remember that our heavenly home is so much better than what we have here. Help us not to get caught up. Help us as we go about our daily walk this next week. Help us to live for you, and do pray that you just bless the folks here at Wilmington. And thank you most of all, Lord, for your son, the Lord Jesus, and what he's done for us on the cross. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.